Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And when we say we do what we do because life and truth matter, I use life in the sense of the experience of life, the knowledge of life, experiencing Christ, not just knowing, but as has been well said, knowing. There's a difference between cognitively apprehending something and having a real experience with the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. But obviously, we're also very interested in the foundational principle of all anthropology, and that is human life, meaning that we live in a culture today in which life is considered from a different perspective as the culture becomes more and more materialistic than the perspective that was imbued in Western civilization by the Judeo-Christian tradition. And I want to say a few words about that after I do your calls, but important to communicate something that I read in a blog by Jerry Cohn. He's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Chicago. And he's not only defending abortion, but he is indeed defending infanticide. This is all part of the slippery slope that we are on as a culture. So Cohn writes, if you are allowed to abort a fetus that has a severe genetic defect, then why aren't you able to euthanize the same fetus just after it's born? I see no substantive difference that would make the former act moral and the latter act immoral. And I can say that on one level, he's absolutely right. In other words, if you can abort a late-term child, why not take the next step and abort a child a few days after the child is born? Again, the problem here is a failure to recognize that that child has personhood from the moment of conception. But Cohn is not alone. I think of Francis Crick. He was co-discoverer of the double helix structure of DNA. I bring him up on this broadcast because he had a partner. His partner was James Watson. And in one of the most chilling quotes I have ever heard, this co-discoverer, again, of the structure of DNA, said that because of the limitations of present detection methods, most birth defects are not discovered until birth. However, said Watson, if a child was not declared alive until 3 days after birth, well, then the doctor could allow the child to die if the parents so chose and save a lot of misery and suffering. And think about the chilling effect of those words. Because after all, everything becomes subjective when we live in a materialistic culture. So now you see the child, and if the child doesn't quite suit your fancy, well, you make a choice and you let that child die. Well, not just let that child die, you take active steps in order that that child, in fact, dies. And this is precisely what Peter Singer was talking about. He's the famous Princeton ethicist. When he said that newborn human babies have no sense of their own existence over time. So killing a newborn baby is never equivalent to killing a person. If a decision is taken by the parents and doctors that it's better that a baby should die, I believe it should be possible to carry out that decision not only by withholding or withdrawing support for life, but also by taking active steps to end the baby's life swiftly and humanely. Again, all of this arbitrary depending on what you think the quality of a person's life actually is. In the New York Times, Gary Comstock said, "It seems that the medical community has few options to offer parents of newborn babies likely to die." And so the implication is you have to expand those options. Going back to COIN, the reason that we can expand those options is because human beings, after all, are no different than bananas or dogs. Says COIN, the reason we don't allow euthanasia of newborns is because humans are seen as special. And I think this comes from religion. In particular, the view that humans, unlike animals, are endowed with a soul. Well, the materialist certainly doesn't hold to substance dualism. So everything's just a function of brain chemistry and genetics. And once you start teaching this philosophy, you become an instrument for the devolution of civilization, which is already essentially fragile. And COIN is not just a guy on a street corner with a megaphone or maybe a loud voice. He's a respectable professor in what is thought to be a respectable university. And he is telling people, the students that are impressionable, that there is no such thing as morals. There is no such thing as right or wrong. There's no distinction between an animal and a human being. These are serious times, times in which we as Christians need to be ready to give an answer. This is not optional. The reason the culture is devolving is because we as Christians are not doing what we as Christians are called to do. You can repeat it over and over again, and hopefully it becomes stuck in your memory trace, salt and light. We're called to be salt, we're called to be light, and if we are not salt and light, culture devolves. And civilizations are lost. And right now, without any hyperbole, I can tell you that Western civilization hangs in the balance, and that by a very thin thread. Ethics and morality are now a function of the size and strength of the latest lobby group. And this is in direct opposition to being firmly rooted in scientific and spiritual standards. And thus, with no enduring reference point, societal norms have been reduced to mere matters of choice. Year by year, multiplied millions of preborn children are sacrificed on the altar of abortion. And now we're talking about not just abortion, infanticide. It's part of polite conversation. It's an option in the discussion. Now note, when I was quoting, and I put a bunch of quotes together, I was quoting not fringe people. We're talking about a Princeton ethicist. We're talking about a famous university professor. We're talking about the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA. These are not fringe people. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you, we simply can't do what we do. We want you to join the team in making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers and more of the Bible Answers Men broadcast.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Albert next. Hi, Albert.
Hey, Hank. I just had a question. I was, in a debate with an atheist. And, you know, they always resort to the existence of evil, I guess, as a proof that God doesn't exist. And I wanted to have, like, a cogent comeback because, I mean, that's a hard question to answer. What would you say to a person who bases their unbelief on that particular fact that, you know, the world is not a utopia, so there's no way God can be loving, or there's no way that this God that we call merciful and kind can exist if all of this suffering exists?
Well, I mean, you have to remember that there are only three ways in which you can account for evil to begin with. I mean, you can say that all is God and God is all, as the pantheists do. Or you can say that there is no such thing as good or evil as the philosophical naturalists do. Or you can account for evil as the theists do, and particularly as Christian theists do, by simply pointing out that God created the world in such a way that there were volitional beings who had freedom of choice. They could choose to serve God, or they could choose to be severed from God. And because of that, evil came into the world. So God did not create evil, but he did create the potential for evil by granting human beings freedom of choice. And we actualize that evil through our choices. Now, God certainly could have created a world in which there was no possibility for sin, or evil, or hurt, or suffering. But if he would have done that, then there would have been no choice. And without choice, love is rendered meaningless. So God created a world out of which will come the best of all possible worlds. But for your atheist friend, there is no such thing as good or evil to begin with. There's no basis on which to determine that something is good or something is evil. The Blue Devils, they are a dominant basketball team. But if you look at the Duke Blue Devils and you think about the mascot, you might be reminded that in that worldview, there is no such thing as devils, because everything is a pure function of material processes, and therefore, in a material world, there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad. In fact, the preeminent philosopher, one of the most dominant figures on the campus of Duke University, a man of enormous weight, Alex Rosenberg, who wrote the prestigious Atheist Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, has said to his students, some of whom are athletes, that you can be certain of one thing. There is no wrong. There is no right. You can go to the bank with that. There is no good. There is no evil. You can bet your whole life, your whole career, on that fact. So don't let anybody tell you that there's good or bad, right or wrong. There is no good or bad. There is no right or wrong. And anyone that tells you that there is simply doesn't know what they're talking about. By the way, I don't mean to pick out Duke. I only use that as an example, because there are hundreds of other prestigious universities around the world saying the exact same thing. And that's why we have the moral morass that we do. Imagine telling impressionable students that they cannot do right, they cannot do wrong. There is no such thing as good or bad. That's what's being force-fed at the fount of this drivel. in universities that we're paying tremendous amounts of money to send our children to. That is not fiction. That is fact as far as he's concerned. And it is the logical extension of the atheist worldview. So your friend is in an odd dilemma.
Right.
Because he cannot say there is good or bad. You are not in that dilemma at all. You can say there is evil in this world, there is right or wrong, and the fact that God created human beings with freedom of choice accounts for that and will lead in the end to the best of all possible worlds. And Alex Rosenberg tells his student athletes, his students, he brainwashes them with the idea that if you're going to be atheistic, you have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism. And then he says, in case there's always Prozac. It's hard to believe, but this is precisely what they're teaching. They are teaching that there's no meaning to life. In fact, there's not even a free will. His students have no choices to make at all. No free will. He says, not a chance. Now, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I am quoting him directly. In fact, in context, it's far more draconian than I'm even making it. He is putting together a litany of statements so his students cannot miss the reality that there's no such thing as good or evil, right or wrong. In other words, as far as he's concerned, anything goes. Now, what he's doing, and you have to give him a lot of credit, he's simply being consistent with his own worldview. This stuff is not made-up stuff. I mean, sometimes when I say it, I'm thinking to myself, could he really have written that? And I have to pick up the book and read it once again and then realize that this is not just a few statements on one page, but the whole book is devoted to that thesis. These students are not only taught this, but they're taught how to sneer and mock the Christian worldview. That's why we need a survival guide so we can give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect.
Wow. Well, I greatly appreciate that thoughtful answer, man, and thank you so much.
You got it, Albert. Thank you for your call. Nathan next. He's listening in Bentonville, Arkansas. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Awesome. I really enjoy listening to your show as I drive to work in Fayetteville. And my question is, I've been a Mormon my whole life, and not wanting to get into any debate, I don't believe in Bible bashing, but just a humble question. If it's true that Mormonism is a cult, what do you think would be a good idea for me to do if I'm concerned about, okay, my soul, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I try to follow him, so what do you think would be a good, just something for me who's been a Mormon my whole life, you know, if it is a cult and that kind of concerns me, I'm like, well, I still believe in Jesus, so where would you suggest would be a good place to start, I guess is my question.
Sure, I think follow the truth wherever it leads, and I think, Nathan, what's so important is to realize that the issue is not the word that you use, but the meaning that you pour into the word. And you bring up the operative word Jesus. You say you believe in Jesus Christ. But there are many people that say that they believe in Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses call me on the program and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. If you ask them who Jesus Christ is, they're not going to give you the biblical notion of Jesus. Or if you have a New Ager call me on the air, or a New Thought metaphysical practitioner, they'll say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But if you ask them to define who Jesus Christ is, they're not going to say he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. I have Muslims call me on the broadcast who believe in Jesus Christ and even believe, in some cases, that he was sinless. But if you ask him, was he the one who is the Son of God in whom all the fullness of deity dwelt in human form, they're going to say, of course not. In fact, anyone who believes that has committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. So the issue here ultimately, Nathan, is not the word you use, but the meaning you pour into the word. Jesus Christ ultimately asked that question of his disciples when he came to Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? And I think that makes all the difference in the world. You can be sincere, but certainly be sincerely wrong. If you get up in the middle of the night to grab some aspirin and you accidentally grab cyanide, you can be sincere in wanting to cure your headache, but the results are going to be very, very different. So I think it's important to follow truth wherever it leads. And the Word of God corresponds to reality. The Book of Mormon simply does not. We sure care about you and love the fact that you listen and have called in. Anything we can do on a personal level in terms of communication, just hang on. We'll be here for you. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Do remember, you're standing with a ministry that represents life and truth, because life and truth really do matter. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle. So long for now. Thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.